Welcome to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio, where our vision is to build a people established in God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us this morning for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is our senior pastor, Fred Gillenwater, with today's message.
The truth be told for the saving of souls.
I'm going to let Mariah say something to you real quick. She shared something with me last week, and I was very encouraged by that. And I want her to share with you briefly what she shared. Go ahead.
Hi, I'm Mariah Spradlin. I'm a senior in high school. I go to Upper Valley Career Center. So this happened about 2 weeks ago on a Friday, and I was in my English class, my first period of the day. There was a kid in my class who saw, I believe, a TikTok. I'm not on TikTok, so I don't really know too much about it, but he saw something, and it made him question. He asked the teacher, why does God get to pick and choose who goes to heaven and hell? And the teacher replied with, well, how does he choose who goes to heaven or who goes to hell? And then, me being me, I get excited at the drop of a hat to go talk about Jesus. So I was like, well, there's only one way to get to heaven. And she was like, oh, yeah, well, what would that be? And I was like, well, you have to accept and believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior and that he died for you and rose on the third day. And she's like, okay, well, what about a great person? Like, everybody loves them and, you know, perfect life. I said, did he believe in Jesus? Well, no. Then he's not going to heaven. There's only there's only one way to heaven. And then it sparked a debate. And everybody, like, there was tons of people. I have, like, 20 kids in my class. And we spent 40 to 45 minutes talking just about Jesus, my entire class.
Isn't that great? Oh, tell them that one part. Get that one part in there. You got to hear this. Go ahead. If she don't tell it, I'm going to.
We had a
kid. Isn't she sweet? Go ahead.
We had a kid in my class who was like, let's change the subject. She shouldn't be allowed to talk about this right now. We shouldn't talk about Jesus in class. You know, that's something she should talk about that on her own time. And then I said, well, I'm going to proclaim Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior no matter where I am. And if I have to listen to all of your beliefs and the all of the gay pride and all of the things that are coming that are just wicked in the world, then you guys can hear me talk about Jesus too.
That's right.
So. Amen. Now this is in class. Don't you love that? How long have you been coming here?
Oh, I've been coming since I was little.
Little?
Yeah.
And then you started coming regularly when you were in fifth grade.
Yeah.
Just a little towhead running around here. But look what, that's rich right there. You know, nobody said to do that. She's just, it's in her heart. Up here singing, sings like a bird as a gift. You hear what I'm saying? Being raised in the church. This is powerful. I can't explain to you how important that is to keep your people and your children serving God. I just can't. There's so much trying to keep us away from it. We're good. Did you have something else you want to say?
No, that's all.
I asked her at the last minute to do that, and so she did great. Amen. Let's give her a hand. Bible says in Revelation 12 that we overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. All right. So we're starting our fast today, right? Everybody's excited about that, aren't you? Excited about the fast. So remember, when you fast, it's a spiritual exercise. Remember 1 Timothy 4:8? Bodily exercise profits little, but godly exercise profits much, for it profits for the life that now is and the life that is to come. So fasting is a spiritual exercise. Think about this. When you eat, you get, when you eat, you can eat to where you're full. We went out last night and we knew we were fasting today, so we went out and we ate pretty good. I got full. I didn't want any more. That's the way physical food makes you. But when you eat spiritual food, you get full, but you want more. You always want more. That's the way a Christian life is. When you begin to grow and mature in the things of God, you want more. You can't get enough. And that's what fasting does. Fasting is a denial. You're denying your body. See, Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, you're going to have to take up your cross, deny yourself, and follow me. So this is what we're doing. We're training our bodies, just like going to the gym. We're training our bodies that, hey, body, you're going to listen to me today. You're not going to eat that eclair. Right? I'm fasting. I don't need that today. But I am, you see this? What you're doing is you're training yourself. See, we live in a culture and a world where the word denial people don't want to say the word denial. They don't, to deny themselves of anything, what? I'll get what I want, when I want, how I want it, when I want it, I'm going to get it. That's the way we live. Am I talking to the right people? But in the kingdom, you got to deny yourself. And when you do, you get, remember, bodily exercise profits little, but godly exercise profits much, for it profits for the life that now is and the life that is to come. The word profit means what's left after the exchange. When I exchange what God wants in my life, His will, for what my flesh was crying out for, I increase for the life that now is. How to live the Christian life, the life God created me for my children, my grandchildren. You see that? That's huge. Because, see, that's how you give influence, when you deny yourself. And you know what? You don't even want what you want anymore. Because you'd rather have Jesus. You see this? This is how it works. You know, I've been, we're doing the Daniel fast, or, you can, do what you want, alter it the way you want to. If you have health restrictions and limits, just kind of alter it around that, but give up something. You can give up something, right? And we all can. So, we're giving up meat, sweets, and treats. And then I'll have a couple days where I just don't eat anything. It's just going to be water. You guys don't have to do that, but that's up to you. You do it accordingly. you can find stuff, but we have plenty of information in Narthex out there. So if you need information on how to do it, it's out there. And it's online. So fasting is a biblical exercise. So it's important. So what have we been talking about? We've been talking about false prophets, deception, Antichrist. Boy, what's going on up in here?
False prophets, Antichrist.
We need to know about those things. There's a lot going on out there. Amen? A whole lot. And you have to be intentional and purposeful to get to the truth. Don't you like our graphic? Christina made that. I think she's got some creativity. I like that. But now look. This is important. Because remember last week we talked about Josiah in 2 Kings chapter 23. Josiah was a young king. And he was very young. He was between 8 and 14. I don't know exactly, but I believe he was 8, whatever. Here's the idea. In the temple that he was, where he was king, there was all this perversion going on, and all this stuff. And he said, "We have to repair the temple." We have to put up new doors and wall and fix the wall. And fix the temple's falling apart. So he starts to, and while he's doing that, they find the Bible. They find the book of the law, the Word of God. In other words, the Word of God was lost. And the leaders didn't even recognize it. And so they're having worship, and so all kinds of false gods come in. And all kinds of perversion comes in. And they got booths outside the temple, right there before you go in the temple, on men prostitutes and male prostitutes coming into the temple. Because there was no word. There was no Bible. But when he began to bring the Bible in, that stuff left. He began to speak the word of God, and that stuff began to clean up the temple. Who's the temple? We're the temple. The Bible says you are the temple of the living God. That's why you're not your own. Jesus said you've been bought with a price. He purchased you with his blood if you're one of his. You're the temple. If there's no Bible, guess what? All kinds of stuff's coming up in your house. Am I making sense? That's why, isn't that a picture of what's going on today? That's what's going on everywhere. You take the Bible out, all kinds of things are going to come in. So this is what we're talking about today. And the false prophets, because everything showed up like that, it's because they were listening to false prophets. What you listen to is important. False prophet, you could be your own false prophet. You walk around talking to yourself, what somebody said to you, you're prophesying to yourself. Self-fulfilling prophecy. It can be negative. If you walk around and if all you think about and talk about is what you see on the media and what you see on Facebook, and you're depressed and discouraged, it's self-afflicted. You brought it on yourself. You see that? You can't just walk around thinking and talking about everything you're seeing on TV and Facebook and Twitter, all these things around you, and expect the Holy Spirit to be working in your life and be effective for God's kingdom. Are we making sense? All right. I'm excited today. So let's go to our foundational scripture after we look at the vision. To build a people... Oh. Guess where this came from? Everybody standing up. I was preaching in Nehemiah, and I'm going to talk about Nehemiah today. We were preaching for Nehemiah, and they stood at the water gate. And the water gate represents the Word of God. So that's what we do. We stand in honor of God's Word in this house. Amen? All right. To build a people who are established, God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You see that? In the unity of the Spirit, in the bond of peace. This is the vision of this house. So what I want you to see, this word peace is really Jesus. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He brought peace between God and man because he paid the price of sin. Now they can communicate. He brought peace within you. And if you listen to him and you fulfill his will, you'll always be at peace with man. See that? We're to be at peace with man, with God, and within ourselves. When that takes place, there's unity. Where there's unity, see, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The Bible says in Psalms 131, where there's unity, God commands the blessing. So now think about this. Someone comes in, some of you have come in today. You may have been thinking about suicide. You may have been thinking about divorce. You may have been thinking about something way out there. But you showed up in here today, and there's a presence here that's going to change your mind. Because God is putting his blessing here. Because there's some unity here. Some of you are thinking about cheating on your wife or cheating on your husband. God commands a blessing. See, when you come into an environment like this, It brings change, healthy change. You stay and you can commit to an environment like this, it's going to change everything in your life. Everything. For God's good. Are you with me today? We're going to look at the verse now. In 1 Corinthians 13. This has been our foundation. We've been talking about love. And this 1 Corinthians 13 is the love chapter. And faith, hope, and love. These are the greatest. Faith, hope, and love. Faith, nothing moves in God's kingdom without faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. So if I'm in faith, Galatians 5:6 only works through love. Agape love, God's love, unconditional. Faith works through love. If I got faith, I need to keep believing until I get to the love, because the power is in the love. When I'm in that love, now I got power. I have influence. The kingdom of God is reigning in your life. It says we've been delivered from the powers of darkness and translated into the kingdom of the Son of His love. When you have the love of God flowing and operating in your life, there's power in your life. You see that? There's power. But it takes faith first, then hope. Hope means joyful anticipation of good. So I'm going to remain joyful till I get to the love, because I'm headed to something that's worth denying myself for. Amen? All right. Look at this. Love does not rejoice in iniquity. This is the love chapter. But rejoices in the truth. So love rejoices in the truth. The word love, the word rejoice means to be hilarious. To be extremely happy. So you should be happy to receive the truth. When you are a believer, that's the way it is. You can't get enough. Is this making sense? All right. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your presence today. We thank you for all that you're doing in our lives. We ask, Lord, that you continue to speak to us by the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we need you desperately in this hour. Lord, again, we lift up the Lee family at the loss of Barbara. And Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would comfort the family in this time. And Lord, just all that goes on with that, Lord, we just put all the Lee family in your hands. And we're trusting you. We know where Barbara is, because she's your child. And we know that she wouldn't come back if she could. And we thank you for Barbara's life and the many people she witnessed to in this church and in this community. We trust you, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. All right. Okay. So, we've been looking at, like I said, false prophets and Antichrist. And this, the spirit of the Antichrist is behind all of it. So let's go to Matthew 7:15. Now this is Jesus talking, okay? It says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. So in other words, the fruit represents character. When you see God's character, that's how you're going to understand that this person is from God. They're going to have character. So in other words, they can't just be gifted and talented and handsome and beautiful. There's going to have to be character in that person. So when you're receiving from them, character is a measure. It's not that you're judging them. You know what kind of tree you're eating from, right? Apple trees don't eat their own apples, right? We're supposed to be eating them, right? Tasting them, right? Making sense? All right. Now look. Give me the next one. You will know them by the... No. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? No. All right. So Jesus is telling us to beware of false prophets. Now, go with me to, we're going to look at some false prophets in the Old Testament today. Go with me to Jeremiah 14:11. Now, in Hebrews 1, it says this. It says, just as God has spoken to us through the prophets of old, speaking of the Old Testament, the Hebrew Bible, just as God has spoken to us through the prophets of old, he has spoken to us in these last days through his Son Jesus, whom he has appointed heir over all things, and through whom also he created the world, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholds all things by the word of his power. You see, when you receive his word, and it doesn't matter. When you get his word on the deal, it doesn't matter what the government's doing. It doesn't matter what's going on at work. It doesn't matter what's going on in the hood. You are going to be held together. Is that too much? That's the way it is. When you get the truth on the matter. Now think about this. Okay. Jeremiah. Then the Lord said to me, do not pray for this people, for they're good. This is the Lord telling Jeremiah not to pray for these people. That's kind of different, isn't it? This is what the Bible said. It's not me. Guess what? He told him not to pray for the people in Jeremiah 7 either. Three times. You know why? God was fed up with their sin. Fed up with all their denial and all their listening to the false prophets. They didn't want to listen to Jeremiah. So God's telling them, stop praying for them. See, God works that way. He'll get to a place where he'll just give you what you want and let you have it. If you don't want what he has, he'll give you your will. And that's going to produce misery. Give me the next one. When they fast, I will not hear their cry. And when they offer burnt offering and grain offering, I will not accept them. But I will consume them by the sword, by the famine, and by pestilence. Then I said, ah, Lord God, behold, the prophets say to them, you shall not see the sword, nor shall you have famine, but I will give you assured peace in this place. So they're prophesying peace. The false prophets are saying, everything's going to be okay. Don't get yourself in a tizzy. Come on, you know, live and let live. It's going to be all right. You can live how you want to live. Grace. I'm all about grace. I'm all about mercy. I love me some grace. That's what this church is about, giving grace and mercy. Like we always say, we don't care if you're drunk. Come on in here. God will help you. We're not going to tell you not to do that. We're not going to beat you up and tell you not to do those things. The Holy Spirit is going to help you out with that. And the Word of God. We won't judge you or beat you down with that. But this is what they're saying. But we're not going to tell you you're going to have peace if you continue in that. Here's the thing. They're telling them it's going to be all right. It was a false peace. Only God can give you peace. Only God, because he's the God of peace. Now watch. And the Lord said to me, the prophets prophesy what? Lies in my name. I have not sent them, commanded them, nor spoken to them. They prophesy to you a false vision. Remember, the word vision is a prophetic, redemptive uncovering. So a prophet, a true prophet, is prophesying God's word over you, and it uncovers something in your life and shows you. You. Shows you what's going on in your life. It's a prophetic, redemptive uncovering. And it's a redemptive uncovering. Back to what God deems most important. When a true word from God comes, it's going to show you something that you need to work on. And it's all about redemption. God wants you to get back to the place that He created you for. And that's where life is. And that's where joy is. And that's where love is. And that's where the kingdom of God is in that redemptive place. But you see, if you go and you hear things and there's no prophetic redemptive uncovering, you stay. You stay in your mess. You stay in those patterns that keep you out of the will of God and keep you from a fulfilled life and keep you from doing God's will. Because God's will is the priority in life. That's what the Bible is. It's His will written to us. And we are to fulfill His will, not our own. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now watch this. Look what happens. They prophesy to you a false vision, divination, a worthless thing. You know what worthless? Worthless means worthless. But this word worth is where we get the word worship. So he's saying what you worship is producing something worthless. It has no value in the eyes of God. See, when you really worship God, you discover your real worth, your true self-esteem, your true identity. Now you're worth something, and God is helping you to become everything He created you to be. But you can't get that listening to a negative voice, a false voice. You have to get God's word on it. Okay? Now watch. Stay with me. A worthless thing and the deceit of their heart. They're telling you what they think. They're giving you their own opinion. It didn't come from the Bible. I know none of you have ever been in a place like that. But I have. Now watch this. Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning the prophets who prophesy in my name, whom I did not send, who say sword and famine shall not be in this land. By sword and famine, those prophets shall be consumed. And the people to whom they prophesy shall be cast out in the streets of Jerusalem. Because of the famine and the sword, they will have no one to bury them. Man, see, he's telling the Jews, you're not going to have anybody to bury you. I mean, that is big in the Jewish tradition. You getting this? He's saying you're not even going to have anybody to bury you. That's major. Stay with me. Have no one to bury them, nor their wives, their sons, nor their daughters, for I will pour out wickedness on them. God's going to judge people. God holds you and me responsible for what we're hearing and what we're receiving. You and I are responsible for what we hear and what we receive.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now. Only the truth and truthfulness can save us.
You have been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio, 45365. Our service times are Saturday evening at 5 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you.